Well, good morning, church, and it's good to see you. I trust you've had a good Christmas holiday. Thank you, Simon, for leading us and the team in worship this morning as we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The days between Christmas and New Year are often days where very little happens. You know, the hype of Christmas Day has gone. Presents have been received. Meals have been eaten. Maybe Christmas jumpers have been put back in the wardrobe for another year. Nigel's wearing his at the back. Well done, Nigel. Yep. And our festivities, in the most part, have come to an end, and Christmas would have been gone for another year. Or will it? Or will it? The fact is, Christmas really has nothing to do with presents and eating. Christmas can go on 365 days in the year. It can go on if we allow Jesus to be the central focal point in our lives. The Bible tells us, we know, that God stepped out of eternity and entered human history. A Savior was promised, he was prepared, and he was provided. The scripture that Kathy read this morning takes us to Jerusalem for that event that occurred 40 days after that very first Christmas. The scripture tells us that when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised as prescribed by the law. Then after 40 days, that period of time that Mary had reached the end of her purification period, and that Luke tells us that at that point Jesus is presented to the Lord and redeemed. It's quite a thought, isn't it, that the Redeemer had to be redeemed. And whilst Mary and Joseph are in Jerusalem, this special event takes place. Two old saints of God, Simeon and Anna, were in the temple, and they were there, the Bible tells us, because the Holy Spirit had led them. They were part of that Jewish faithful remnant looking for the appearing of Messiah. And when they met Jesus that day, even though Jesus was just 40 days old, an infant, they were overjoyed and began to praise God. And I believe there are things that we can learn from these two godly people. Firstly, the motive of praising Jesus. And when Simeon enters the temple and he takes Jesus into his arms, this old man declares to everyone the reasons for his joy. And in those brief moments, Simeon, I believe, gives us three motives for praising the Lord. And those motives are just as valid for us today. The who, the why, and the what. The who, we praise the Lord for who appeared. The name Simeon actually means he who hears. And this man had been hearing from the Holy Spirit. We read that in verse 26. And he had been told that he would not die until He had seen Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world, to see him for himself. And when Simeon sees Jesus, he is notified by the Spirit that this is him. This is him who he had been waiting for. And he begins to praise the Lord because of who had entered the world. Just who was this baby? He's identified in verse 26 as the Lord's Christ. In verse 30, the Lord's salvation. Simeon understood who he was, but few others at that time recognized the significance. On the night when Jesus was born, those shepherds, they were aware of who this was. Some of the heavenly angels were aware of who he was. But sadly, many people did not know who he was. The priest who circumcised Jesus did not know fully. Other people in the temple, they did not fully know. The folks in Bethlehem did not know. And sadly today, many people do not know who Jesus is. But this baby, whom they named Jesus, was and still is God in human flesh. In John 1:1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus was and still is the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, it says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And Jesus was and still is the only Savior of sinners and the only way back to God. We know words of Jesus himself in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me." And Simeon is excited because the promised one had appeared. He knew who Jesus was. And the question that we must answer in these days, do we know who Jesus is? If we do, then we can praise God just as Simeon did. And secondly, there was praise of why he arrived. Verses 30 to 32. And as Simeon praises God for the baby Jesus, he tells us a little bit about why Jesus came into the world. In verse 30, it refers to Jesus as being salvation. And then we are told that he would change the world. There would be a huge impact on society. And the ministry he would fulfill would have that effect on the Jewish nation, and it would reach over into the Gentile world. And basically, Simeon is saying and reminding us that Jesus came into the world to save us from our sin. Whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, Jesus will provide salvation to all who will receive him. We know that very well-known verse in John 3:16. And again, words of Jesus himself For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The truth is that Jesus came into the world, I'm talking in the singular, to set me free and my sins to be eradicated. Jesus loved me so much to die for me and to save me by his grace. And that very fact is I say it so often, is often too much to put into the human mind. But he loved me so much that he endured the pain and the shame and the horror of the cross to set me free. No wonder we can shout out, hallelujah. And thirdly here, there was praise because of what he would accomplish. And Simeon continues his praise by offering, as it were, a prophecy of what Jesus would accomplish in his life. And in these verses, we are told that the old man speaks in a way of a stone and a sign and a sword. The phrase, the fall and rising again of many in Israel, refers to Jesus in the Old Testament prophecy. And many in Israel would stumble. They would trip. They would fall over. But Jesus is the stone, that sure footing, that sure foundation. In Matthew 21 and 42, again, words of Jesus himself, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And in verse 30 of our scripture, he is that salvation stone. But Simeon also talks about a sign, and the word sign here refers to that of miracle. Jesus is God's miracle. But instead of receiving him as the gift and the revelation of God, his enemies attacked him. They crucified him. His birth was a miracle, but they attacked it. His miracles were ridiculed and attributed to the work of Satan. His character, we know, was called into question. He was mocked even as he died. And they lied about his resurrection. And even today, men and women still doubt his miracles. And then Simeon talks about a sword. Of course, this speaks of Mary's pain. She suffered as she watched Jesus fulfill his father's plan. We know that the ultimate hurt came on the day when she watched him dying on the cross. The bottom line for us, friends, is that Jesus entered this world to provide salvation to the world. And we must thank God and praise him for that wonderful truth. For us this morning, do we know Jesus in that personal way? Is Jesus the chief cornerstone in our lives? And so when we stop to consider who arrived and why he appeared and what he accomplished, we can see that we have such a lot to praise the Lord for. That's the motive. And secondly, we see the method of praising Jesus. We see as Simeon and Anna magnify the name of the Lord, we can learn lessons here about Jesus, praising Jesus in these days. There is a biblical way to offer the sacrifice of praise, and these two aged people show us and give us some pointers. In verse 28, we see that the praise was vocal. Simeon didn't just see Jesus and rejoice in his heart. He opened his mouth and lifted his voice in adoration and praise. He did not keep what he felt bottled up. He let it out to the glory of the Lord. And we see that his praise was visible in verse 28 also. Simeon involved the entire person in the act of praise. He reached out, he lifted up the baby Jesus, held him high, and praised the Lord. He was not embarrassed to vocally or visibly praise his Redeemer. In verse 38, we see that praise was also verbal. As Anna enters the arena of praise, she, as it were, blends her voice with that of Simeon, but she adds an additional element. Whilst Simeon lifted up his hands and his heart and his voice to the Lord, Anna did this as well, but she also told others what the Lord is doing. Her praise was vocal and visible and verbal. I realize that we live in days when old-fashioned praising of the Lord is less popular and less fashionable. People sometimes feel a little bit too refined and too afraid of what others will think when involved in spirit-led praise. But I believe that God still loves it and expects it from his people. There is nothing wrong with vocal, visible, and verbal praise to God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in our lives. If God has done anything for you at all, then you have a reason to praise him. Listen to what the Bible says on this matter. And I appreciate on the note sheet, the font is very small. Maybe you need a pen and just write down some of the references. In vocal praise, Psalm 98 and verse 4, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, rejoice, and sing praise." In Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." In verbal praise, Psalm 134 and 2, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." And in 2 Samuel 6 and 14 about David, it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might." It seems to me that God appreciates visible praise, but also in verbal praise. Mark 5 and 19, "Go home, tell your friends and tell them what a great and mighty things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." I get the feeling that the Lord likes it when we talk about him to others, when we talk to him about him to a lost world, and also in the company of believers. The third point this morning is the ministry of praising Jesus. And as the name of the Lord was praised in public, three things took place that day. And these three things still happen today when God's people take time to praise him for his goodness. In verses 28 and 38, we see that God was exalted. Praise brought glory to God. You know, everything in the temple was about ritual, but when Simeon and Anna broke the rituals and began to praise the Lord. The focus was taken off the ritual and placed on the Lord. Even today, when the Lord is praised and exalted in his church and in the world, he is lifted up. When we forget about our own circumstances and our own rituals and traditions, when we take the focus off those things and onto the Lord, God is exalted. So we thank God for the ministry of praise. Secondly, the saints were edified. Mary and Joseph hear these praises, and they are given hope and encouragement by the praises of these precious saints. It says in Scripture that Simeon marveled. What a lovely description that is. Simeon marveled. And it still helps the Lord's people when we hear others praising his name. There are days when I cannot feel a sense of a spirit of praise in my own heart. If I'm honest, there are times when I feel it difficult to praise the Lord. But when I hear others praising the Lord, it lifts me up. It encourages me. And I can add my own amen to how others are praising. And that is something beautiful for the body of Christ, the church, that we can support each other. Because we're not always in that place of on the mountain peak. Sometimes we are in the valley. And as Simon shared with us earlier, God still wants us to worship him at every point on the measure. So the body of Christ, we can help and encourage one another in that way. So whenever you are thinking and wanting to praise God, don't hold back. When that testimony feels like coming out, don't stifle it and quench the spirit. Let it out for the glory of God, because others will be blessed. And thirdly, on this point, we see that there were those who were evangelized. In verse 38, the Bible tells us that Anna went out and she told others about this baby that she had seen. In my version of the Bible, it says she spoke of him. She spoke of him. And because she was verbal in her praise, others in the community could also find out about Jesus. Friends, we will never know what a short testimony or some praise or a little witness for Jesus will accomplish. God can take the sacrifice of praise that we offer in his name and turn hearts towards him. There is something attractive about a child of God who is saved and not ashamed of Jesus. So in conclusion, when Jesus was born, we know heaven was excited. Angels came down, they shared the message with some shepherds. These men went and praised God for themselves. They went to see the child. They met Jesus and they went over the hills rejoicing and praising his name. And when Jesus was 40 years of age, he was greeted by the praises of two elderly saints who could not contain their love for him. The question for us this morning is, how are we doing in the praise department? If we are saved, then we have reason to praise God. In Luke 10 and 20, Jesus tells us that we should rejoice because our names are recorded in heaven. However, if there are those who have been holding back, currently not in a relationship with the Lord, not yet made it over the line, why not consider Jesus this morning? Get right with God. Not only was the Saviour of the world born, he was the Saviour of an individual life. No better time to get right with God and to know God's peace than at Christmas time. In verses 29 and 30, Simeon talks about departing because he had seen the Lord's salvation. Friends, it is vital that we see God's salvation before dying. When death comes, it will be too late. This morning, the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. He is speaking. He is prompting. What a wonderful opportunity to get right with God. Let's pray before Simon comes back. Father, we thank you this morning that we are able to praise you for the gift of Jesus, and we realize that Jesus came for people of all ages and of all generations. This morning we have considered two elderly saints who recognized the significance of his birth and praised you for what they had seen and what they experienced. Father, we ask that you would graciously continue to move upon us this morning by your Spirit. Continue to speak into individual lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.